Don't start like that. Well, West Coast, they knocked out Essendon on Thursday night. Collingwood held off Geelong. Please keep a straight face, Kingian.
Sorry.
GWS sent the Dogs packing. Richmond humbled Brisbane in front of the biggest crowd ever at the Gabba. And next week, I can confirm it's Geelong versus West Coast, the MCG. It's Brisbane versus GWS in the second semi on the Saturday at the Gabba. And it's going to be an absolute ripper. But who wants first crack?
I'll go first. I just want to ask you guys, Dicko, I want your opinion on this. Is there anyone left in the finals that can stop Dustin Martin, that can actually clamp him, whether it be a tagging midfielder that can go and play last line defence, go all the way with him? Because you don't want to use Elliot Yeo in that sort of role. Or is he just simply unstoppable and untaggable? Because no one seems to be able to get the job done on Dusty.
I'd never give up on it, if that's what you're saying. But I would love, if, call it West Coast, I'd love to see Luke Shuey go with him in the mid, and then a bunger take him when he goes forward, or Hearn.
Shannon Hearn.
But to answer your question, I don't think there's one player that can do it. There's multiple players that would need to do it.
Well, the champion data boys say that he's been best on ground in five of his last six finals, and the only time he wasn't was when he was injured last year.
Well, I think his year this year is better than his Brownlow year for what I've seen structure-wise and what he's doing for the team. Makes no sense to anyone else because they go, well, that was a year like out of the blue.
Yeah,
I think his year this year is better.
What percentage should he be playing forward?
Because he's got
six goals tonight.
What's on the oppo?
I don't even know if he calls it. If Damien calls it. I think Dusty just does.
He decides he's a player of the square.
Yeah, he just goes forward when he wants to, back on ball when he thinks it's time to go and get a couple of touches. But he's in unbelievable form. I mean, there's no one playing at that level at the moment.
But you said who can play on him in the finals. But can anyone in the AFL play on him if he's playing like he did tonight?
Well,
like, I can't think of a player off the top of my head. Well, he can play him as a forward.
Luke Hodge tonight when he went down, they went, oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Like, and he's played on some powerful forwards as well.
I think Shepherd could do him as a full-blown forward versus back. But that's when he rolls up the ground and just changes the game. So it's a fascination, and it'll be something that every club still left will be looking at.
What a luxury to have. Like old Melburnians, you would have been the same. Just call the shots. I'm going forward. I'm going through the mid.
Absolutely not the same. Not in the slightest. What's your first crack, Dicko?
My first crack is we've just seen four finals. And the biggest disappointment for mine is Essendon. And I've been big on this. Essendon, I think there's a big statement coming, and there has to be a big statement right now for the supporters and that footy club. For 2 years now, they've just dragged the chain. And the numbers don't lie. And when you can talk about game style, his game style, he's had 2 years with this game style that is no good. It's not working. They've got no forward half presence. They're the bottom five for every forward number you want, from time and forward half, everything that stacks up with the good teams, they are nowhere near it. They're not even in the same postcode with that. Where they're playing the game off half back. You don't want to be transitioning the ball 120 metres and relying on that.
So I
honestly think the coach, he has to go. Because you need someone in there that can change that football club's game style.
Do you agree?
You want him changed because of the way they play?
They're not. Put it this way, King.
Because he can change that himself.
Well, why hasn't he changed it in 2 years?
Can he change it himself now?
Because guess what? They made the finals this year with a percentage of 95.
Mm.
2 years ago, a percentage of 105. Same wins. And then last year, same wins, 105. They have gone backwards, yet they played finals this year. It tells you a little bit about what we're looking at. And the only reason I say that is it's a strong one to go with, but I have not had anyone from the football club come out and support him.
Well, where's Lindsay Tanner? Where's Xavier Campbell? 24 hours after a game, we should know, like Port Adelaide, whether their coach is going to be there next year. Ken Hinckley, he's going to be our coach next year. Why don't we know whether John Worsfold 100% is coaching them next year?
And just before I pass over to David here, when Ross was defending himself and saying, listen, I'll honour it. I want to be here next year. And the club didn't come out and go, we want Ross to coach next year. Essendon need to get to say, we want John to coach next year.
All they say is that he's contracted.
But, so what's a better option? What's a better outcome for Essendon?
Well, to be brutally honest, that's for them to decide. Now, the Rutten discussion.
You can't just sack him without any.
No. But the Rutten discussion, and they've got Blake Carosella there. So they've got someone from a successful club.
But you can sack him without a way forward. Because Carlton sacked Brennan Bolton and thought, we'll give David Teague a go. And it turned out that was the way forward.
It's a fair point.
You can work it out on the run a little bit, can't you?
Brennan Bolton won every fifth week. He's a 20% yeah. win-loss record.
I'll work backwards. I'll work backwards, Kingy. Do you think he is the man to coach that football club?
Well, it's a good question, and it's a hard one for me to defend him on because of the of what you present. But the way I would word it is, if your job is to put a senior coach in place to coach for your life, and you've got a choice tomorrow between Worsfold and Lyon, who is available, who has been, whether you like it or not, a very successful coach, coaching in a different way, and not a lot of people like the way Ross has coached in a defensive way either. So you're torn between two polar opposite coaches. One, an absolute rusted-on defensive plan, and one that wants to score and play exciting football. There's no guarantees. There's no right or wrong way to play. But I think 60-plus percent of people would choose Ross Lyon at this very moment.
It's a very good point.
I would say.
Essendon fans? Do you think so?
They would. I think the Essendon fans, I think they're a fraction off with the coach. I think they've enjoyed.
Essendon just made the finals. They just made the finals.
I think they've got to work out what success was for John. Was it getting the club stable again? In a very tumultuous time. I mean, the 3-win first season, and then they've gone 12-12-12. I mean, that is fantastic. To have them back on level playing field, it may just be time, you're right, but it's a big payout. I mean, you're probably
more but it's not so big they can't do it. It's $500,000, thereabouts. It's not a million or 1.5 or 2 like what would happen at Adelaide or Port Adelaide. It's a doable payout. So you can actually do it and the soft cap will survive.
And you look at those 12 wins. They won 7 out of 8 in that stretch. And the percentage of time that they were in front was 44%.
Mm.
So they got across the line a few times.
So you'd move on him?
I would move on the basis that 2 years I've seen the same thing with that football club. And no, we're not talking about talent. We're talking about what delivery and predictability. As an Essendon supporter, I'd be going, hang on a minute. I want some change. I want to see something different. I want to see our footy club jump to 6th spot on the ladder and top 4. You know, you've got to produce. You have to produce. And it's so cutthroat. And you don't go what's out there and work out, have we got someone to replace it? You've got to work out whether he's the man.
Okay.
And right now,
don't mind it.
You're looking at it going, well, there's some question marks, yeah. Isn't there?
It's polar opposite to what Gary Lyon said on Fox Footy the other night. He called the players dumb for the way they played. He didn't say this was on the coach. But you're saying what happened the other night, what's happened this season, the body of work is on the coach and they need to move on.
It's always on the coach. It is
the buck does stop with the coach.
100%. And if he can't get the playing group to do what he wants to do,
yeah,
then it's telling you something.
But so the style of play is the fundamental reason why you're saying this.
Oh, yeah.
The way they play. Yeah. Now, if the conversation were to be had, now, John, we want to go with you in 2020, but this has got to change. Is that a negotiated outcome that could be reached?
Yes, because if they do go down that line.
What does he say? This is how I play.
But we're not privy to what happens in those walls. We're not privy to know what those assistant coaches are delivering underneath him. So no one knows that. You're guessing. But you can't. I'm not guessing on what I'm seeing.
Hmm.
So I can see a coach like a David Teague comes in and wins 6 out of 10, you know, and they play fast through the bubble. Because if you play fast through the bubble and obviously with congestion, if you do turn it over, you've got some protection. So he went in with this is going to work for us. And I could see that. And I'm going, that's quite exciting. I'm a Carlton supporter. I'm sitting back going, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
But if I'm sitting back as an Essendon supporter right now, I'm going, I'm furious.
Yep. And I'm hearing that. Absolutely. Joe Danaher is part of this as well. He's part of the whole mix at the Bombers, isn't he? Well, where's he going to end up? What's going to happen?
Well, the ideal scenario would be you'd love to keep him.
They want to re-sign him, but he doesn't want to re-sign beyond 2020 yet. And that says a little bit, I think. This keeps on bumbling for a reason, this Sydney stuff. We're not saying it's going to happen, but he had a chance on Wednesday this week, thereabouts, to unequivocally say, I will beat Essendon next year. He couldn't say it.
I think that landscape's changed, Kingy, with players. It really has. That loyalty and with free agency now, we're starting to ramp up to the point where we're going to see some big moves.
Why would he sign? Well, if he's going to wait till...
No, he doesn't need to sign.
His bargaining power goes through the roof. The numbers go through the roof. We know how this works.
I agree.
If I'm the player, I'm not signing for massive unders.
No, but if I'm the player and I know I'm going to stay, I'm saying I will be here next year.
But, okay, but does he need... I wouldn't say that.
Wouldn't you?
No, you lose all negotiation. You lose the powers of negotiation.
This year? Really?
If he says that he's there for 2020,
yeah.
Yeah, I think things happen 12 months out more often than not, don't they?
Yeah,
we all know that. I mean, yeah. The players and player movement is so easy for the player now. Mm. It really is. If he walks in and says, look, let's be open and mature about this. I've got a deal done up in Sydney. It's a great deal. You're probably going to get a high-end pick coming back and maybe a player.
Yep.
Are we all happy? Can we all shake hands? They haven't been able to get him on the park. And
that could happen.
The medical side of things and the strength and conditioning department has probably let Joe down as much as anything.
Yep.
Not the fact that he's on X amount of dollars or any of those sorts of, he's hardly been out there.
Yep.
So the way he's been managed would be a major factor in this decision-making process.
All right, let's move off Essendon, the Cats, and what we saw at the MCG. I was in this press conference after the game, and Chris Scott got as close to possible as saying that he made a mistake without actually making that comment. What do you make of it, Kingy?
This game was lost by Chris Scott. I've said that earlier today. I can't get past the fact that you've got an All-Australian player at fullback. There is no other All-Australian magnet that would get moved. Wherever he plays. If he's a full forward, you're not moving him from there. If he's an on-baller, he plays on ball. They play where they serve your club the best. Now, Chris has decided to move Blitzarves into the ruck and drop Stanley, or not select him to take on Grundy, which was a strange decision, on the back of the weather. Now, it just changed so much in this game. It made the fullback go into a position where he had no effect. He had one kick. Sava Radigalia had to go and play more ruck minutes than he normally plays. Tomahawk had two and three players against him for most of the night. So it changed fundamentals of how they play. So in the end, I think that at the selection table, which is one of the pillars of the coaching manual, that's a major responsibility for them to get that right. I mean, you're paying these guys $800,000 to $1 million not to make mistakes with this sort of stuff. They can't be the reason you're getting rolled. I mean, we're walking into a final here. They've got a really well-organised game plan this year. The 22 are there and obvious going well. You know, the selection wasn't. It didn't need to happen. They didn't need to take that gamble. So, I'm just disappointed for the Geelong fans that, you know, another final series hangs in the balance. And we keep talking about Chris's coaching record in finals as opposed to home and away. And the major reason why is I think that he wants to be the reason Geelong win. The reason Geelong win are those 22 players that represent the week on the back of what you've set up during the week.
But you've been at Chris Scott, haven't you? A couple of weeks ago on First Crack, he said, this is what you said. And this is Chris Scott talking about where Geelong should play home finals. You said, Kingy, it's going to permeate through the group. I have no doubt about that. There is a constant discussion compared to distraction. He has to be careful he's not called home and away, Chris. End quote. That's what you said. So it's not like this is an isolated incident. You don't rate Chris Scott and the way he's going about his coaching at the moment.
It's not that I don't rate him. I think he's a seriously intelligent guy.
And at the moment I'm talking about, as it is.
No, I didn't. I just think that you've got to worry about your own backyard first. Don't worry about where the AFL are putting finals. Once that's done and ticked off, move on. Don't worry about, you know, defending what you did or didn't do against Charlie Cameron. Don't worry about, you know, all the flags that are won in the VFA that should be the VFL or the AFL. Who cares about all that stuff? His job is to win this elusive flag. In 2011 was his first year. And Bomber Thompson left them a fantastic team of absolute stars, let's be honest, Dicko. And since then, they have failed to get to the top of Everest again. And they've got a fantastic list. They've got a great home advantage down at Cadinia Park, GMHBA Stadium. I just think that if they go out in straight sets, the fallout will be significant. You know, it doesn't cost him his job, but it's just another year lost. What does that do to the talent there? Does Ablett go on? Does Dangerfield?
Tim Kelly goes to West Coast.
Tim Kelly. Things get harder again. You've got to. They're at a point where they finish top of the table. Look, this is a very open year.
Yeah. Are you as critical, Dicko?
I just want to touch on one thing. You said that they've got a good game plan.
Hmm.
The Collingwood played Piggy in the middle, didn't they? They just controlled it.
Yeah, Piggy in the middle.
Have you ever played that?
Not for 25 years.
Well, I'm in the middle and you kick it over him. And
we could play it over Dick, I reckon, Kingy.
Yeah, well, no, you wouldn't get past me, plan. British Bulldog with you. But that was a bit of an eye-opener for me because they're coming up against West Coast now who do that probably better than Collingwood.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of concerns from the selection.
Who plays ruck this weekend? Who plays ruck for Geelong?
It's got to be Reece Stanley, doesn't it?
It has to be, doesn't it?
It has to be, doesn't it? Against Nick Nat? You tell me.
I think you just concede that you're going to lose against Nick Nat. I'd be setting up around Nick Nat. Don't go in thinking you're going to win against Nick Nat.
What if it's wet?
Even better. Play straight into your hand.
Don't look at the bomb. Don't look at it. Hey, hold that thought. We've got more to come on First Crack. Maybe your second crack after this, Kingy.
All right.
All right, First Crack. You've got to stop making jokes about my forehead, Dicko.
It's a tombstone. Have a look at it. How big is it?
We can rent that out.
I'm just slowly receding back.
I think it's because of the headphones. It's just squashing your hair down.
I feel like I'm in gold class.
None of us are perfect, Kiki. Don't start. All right. The Giants, however, were pretty close to perfect against the Bulldogs.
They were awesome, weren't they?
They were very impressive at taking away, and I'll get back to how good they are, taking away what the Doggies like to do with their style of game. And they were very, very good at shutting it down and then, bang, counteracting it. So a big statement from them today.
The handball game? Took away their handball
Took it away. Perimeter. Just took away that perimeter, because once the Doggies are out, they'll tear you to shreds like they had the last month of the home and away season.
I think this has gone sort of unnoticed, and we've all waited for either the Giants to just peter out and their year to just sort of fritter away to nothing, and then the heat to come on Leon Cameron. But for 2 months, he's been planning to get this 22 back together, to get the band back together and see if, you know, there's no longer taking Williams from a half-back flank to put him in the middle, or Toby Green from a half-forward flank to put him in, just to get some ball going their way. He wants to play Whitfield in the forward half, but he hasn't been able to do that because they've been down on numbers. So I think the management of this list by Leon and his strength and conditioning department, and Wayne Campbell's obviously a major player in this as well, to arrive at the first final in good health like this, that they were confident that they'd be able to get this forward half game going and their pressure game going, given the complement of that 22 today.
But how much momentum does it actually give them? What do we take
plenty
away? Plenty. Does it against the Bulldogs?
They're under serious pressure coming into this final.
They were.
Enormous pressure.
Leon Cameron was under pressure coming into this final.
I think they were the team under the most pressure coming
really?
In. Well, off the back of what they've done over the last 3 years, everyone is expecting them to win one. So not just make the numbers up. So that was a statement today from
the whole Ferrari narrative continues to bubble, doesn't it?
They can't play like they're the Ferrari, though. Without possession of the football today, they were awesome. That's as good as I've seen them when they didn't have possession. They want the ball. They've got skillful players, high-end picks. They want to hurt with the football. They want to make you pay. But when they lose possession, generally they switch off.
Yeah.
And you're able to move the ball against them. Not today, as you touched on earlier. I thought that's the best they'd been defensively. Not necessarily tackling or that sort of thing, but with their positioning and their ability to abide to by a plan as an on-field group, I thought was exceptional.
And their aggression.
Yeah, but that's not something we've necessarily said about the Giants too often, is it? They've been labelled flat track bullies, fairly or unfairly. They had serious aggression today, and they tagged Bontempelli, and that worked.
They didn't tag him. They targeted him.
Yep.
They went after him. They assaulted him at every opportunity. And he turned in his poorest performance for a long time, two or three years in terms of his disposal. He had 13 touches for the day. Spent large chunks on the bench getting patched up. So that's a huge tick. And sometimes you just need that. You need something to emotionally buy into, Dicko, as a playing group. Let's all go after this guy. Put a big square around him on the board and they say, Bontempelli, we're going after Bontempelli. He's a top line. It's not going to affect him. Well, I reckon it did today.
Yeah.
I reckon it did.
And their home and away season's contact. And then when finals comes, it's collision. And it was a collision today. And they came off better than anyone, I reckon.
So you're giving a big tick to Leon Cameron?
Oh, absolutely. A huge tick. I mean, and the whole planning. I mean, this is a full club thing. It's not just Leon. You're relying on so many people when you're bringing players back from injury and trying to get them to arrive at a designated round, first week of finals. I don't know where Steve Canelio is. I'm not sure how far away.
He's a chance. He's an outside chance for this week.
Outside chance. Well, that'd be huge. And he'd probably play forward more than true midfield. But when you look at their ability to score from turnover today, 80 points today when their season average was 45.
Yep.
So that's a huge jump. And maybe the Dogs were ripe for the picking. Maybe their form over the last 3 weeks was flattering. I don't know. But their midfield got fairly well sorted today in terms of stopping the way they wanted to play.
You're not a flat track bully when you can pull apart probably the most informed team of the last month of football.
Yep, at home and absolutely.
Away. So there was no flat track bully about that for me. That was very well orchestrated. What the Giants did.
What about the Dogs' year? Where does it leave? Where does it leave you sitting with the Dogs' year?
I'm super excited about them next year. Oh, they will be a massive bolter, huge bolter,
especially Norton. if he's injured for the year, hurts, but they could get Josh Bruce.
Hmm.
They could get Alex Keith in defence. They're going, they like Isaac Smith, not sure whether they're going to be able to get him.
Hmm.
They've got all this money to spend. But who do you want if you're a Dogs
list
manager?
How much do they got to spend?
Well, they've got Tom Boyd's money. So what do, what do you call that? It's a large chunk of the salary cap, seven figures potentially.
I think they're exciting. I think the way they play King and you know, the style a lot better than I do at times, their aggression and what they were dished up today and how they were stopped in their tracks is a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we can go away and plan exactly how we want to do, because they only ramped that game up the last 6 weeks when their handballs just went through the roof and it was just almost Harlem Globetrotter style. So might have been a little bit of we're gonna hit the ground running here to make finals, but it also might have been a little bit of experimenting as well. And I think if you get a Bruce or someone else in to support that forward line, then I think you're a sneaky chance.
It's a week off served them so well 2 or 3 years ago. It came at the wrong time for him this year.
Yeah.
It was a massive luxury for the Giants and an impost in the end for a team that was just rolling, full of momentum.
They wanted to keep going, didn't they?
They would have loved to have played two games last weekend, get it absolutely sorted.
And Josh Bruce's goal kicking, of course, is pretty good now as well, Dicko.
He's up 12% since I've been in the chair.
Collingwood and their injuries.
Mm.
Levi Greenwood, ACL. That's a real shame. Potentially career-ending. We don't know. But Jordan Dugowie has significant impact in the short term. He won't play in the prelim. If he's going to play again, it will be in a grand final. What does this do to the club, to the team, to their chances? Because they've got a good side of the draw now, don't they? I'll tell you this. Collingwood, they play the winner of Brisbane or GWS at the MCG in a prelim. It has opened up for him.
Ed's just campaigning for that.
Where's Eddie?
He's campaigning for that to be played at the Holden Centre. See how he goes with that one. There are always unlucky players. In any premiership, there's always a couple that miss out, whether it be through just losing form at the wrong time, injury, suspension. I mean, I just wrote down a few names. I mean, we're going to talk about Robinson, Greenwood, Dugowie, Duncan, Delidio, those types of players we're talking about tonight. But history's littered with these names: Modra, Rasciuto. I played with John Longmire, who missed the whole 96 season, and how much he'd done for the previous 150 games at the Kangaroos. Absolute superstar player at full forward. Had ran just short of 100 goals, winning at Coleman a couple of years prior to that. Does his knee and misses the grand final, and you just think, that's it. I'm not going to get another chance. Lucky for him, he did. Jason McCartney got suspended in the last, I reckon, minute and a half of a preliminary final where he clubbed Clark Keating in the back of the head. And it was what have you done, you know? Look, so there's always players that miss out, Dicko.
Bob Murphy.
Yeah.
Did Bob miss out?
He was up on the dice.
Well, he was holding the cup, wasn't he?
Yeah. He might as well have had the medal around him.
What about yourself?
I missed out on plenty. I arrived at Hawthorn in 94, and Hawthorn missed the finals for the first time in 14 years. I thought, it's not too bad. And then I had one of my best years in 01. Brisbane won the flag, and I was in Fiji with no phone reception. Back then, the trade period was either you had a power of attorney, which I didn't. You had to verbally say, I'd agree to the deal. And Lee had been in contact and left a message, and Schwabe, we got the deal done. And Keating to Hawthorn, Dixon to Brisbane.
It was all done.
All done. I get back 2 weeks after the trade deadline, and Schwabe goes, where you been?
2 weeks.
So I missed out on two at the Brizzy Lions, and then I retire in 07, the Hawks win at 08. So you got to put me on that list, don't you?
Well, you're part of a club, aren't you?
Yeah, Club 17.
Club 17.
The 17 newsmen, they didn't win one. All those players get there every year. We go, let's bring the cup out. Which one? The 99 Premiership one. let's fill it up. Geez. It's an unlucky club.
It is.
And it's chaired by Tony Woods.
But
sour grapes,
old Woodsy. Good club to be in, I reckon. Hey, there are players, though, Dicko, that we've seen that we'll miss. And sometimes they can become a bit of a driving force. We saw Nick Natanui and Shepherd and Gaff last year, and we just thought, this is too many for the one team to cope without. What are your thoughts on Collingwood without Greenwood and Dugowie?
I think Dugowie hurts you the most.
Yeah.
Big time.
But can they win it without him?
They can certainly win it without him.
Yep.
But I think their chances of winning it increased, not tenfold.
Significantly.
He's significant. He's a significant piece.
Would you play him if he declared himself fit and was right on the 21 days?
Well, it's 22 days to the grand final.
Yeah, would you play him?
I'm a little bit different this way. If I would 100% play him.
Yeah. You'd play him?
100%.
And risk him getting injured in the second quarter.
If he got injured in the first, I'd wear the decision.
Yeah, right.
But I would definitely take him in.
Because he's that good?
Because you're hoping.
Would you, Kingy?
No, I don't think he can.
Really?
I don't think he
can. At all.
I mean, if he puts his hand up and says, I am playing.
6 week break.
It's the accumulation of hamstrings.
6 weeks out and then a hamstring, then another couple of weeks out. Gee.
But you're playing for a flag, Kingy.
If it goes wrong, you have to live with that decision. You have to live with the decision of
trying to win it.
Of playing 21 players against 22 in the biggest game of the year. What if he just can't function the way that we think he can?
But if he trains.
If he trains.
And he gets through, okay. You have to play him. How can you not play him?
Because sometimes you can't trust players sometimes. Sometimes.
Well, you're kidding.
I'm looking at you, mate. Can't even you, the old Melbourne. No. And it'll be a huge week for him. If they get that far and it opens up for them as you've
opened up beautifully for him.
Oh, it's amazing. And again, you made the point upstairs that West Coast lost to Hawthorn.
Yeah, it's a domino effect, isn't it, for Collingwood? Because, yes, they had to beat Geelong, but everything outside of their control that could have gone right has gone perfectly right for the Pies.
Good luck to them.
Yeah.
Got a couple of players that have turned in some awesome performances on the weekend. So they've earned the right. They deserve it. But to lose him, Stevenson was the only one that we were probably worried about off a 10-week break come in. Geez, he looked good.
Really good.
First half, he looked sensational.
But that's the thing. You're always in the unknown. So the goalie goes, yeah, I'm ready to go. You play him. You don't, Kingy, because you don't trust players. but you've got to trust their decision.
Well, let's wait and see.
Yeah.
Let's see if he trains.
Okay.
Yeah. Show of hands. Who tipped Richmond to win the flag when Rance went down in the first week of the season?
No. I thought it was going to hurt them. I really did.
And it still may hurt them, but at the moment they're looking pretty good. And tonight they looked bloody good.
They looked awesome. They were very good, I thought, at changing a little bit of Dimmer Hardwick in his press conference said, you know, their defenders get quite high. So that just opened the door for the way Richmond can cut through, a bit like the Bulldogs for the last month have done so with their hands. So once they get out the back, they'd be incredibly hard to stop that Tiger train.
Do you think – I'll ask you a question. Do you think slow footy and safe footy is dead? We've seen Geelong play safe and wide for the bulk of the night on Friday night, all to no avail. And really when they opened up and got things going, they looked like a chance. And Brisbane have played that way the last couple of times against Richmond. And when Richmond get the ball, it's as fast as you like. It's as furious as you like.
It's helter-skelter, yeah.
Get the ball forward, you know, as ugly as and messy, is as beautiful as it can be.
So you're saying, is it dead?
Do you think in finals that slow, safe, wide ball use works?
It wouldn't work for a whole game. It would work in a portion of the game.
Yeah.
What really do you think? Would. You've asked the question.
No, I don't know the answer, but I just think for the betterment of football, it's great that GWS are in doing what they're doing, playing the way they want to play. It would have been good if the Dogs had been in a different part of the draw and been able to play the way they want to play, because that's fundamentally what we love to see. You know, the game played at speed. West Coast want to play a little bit quicker than not as safe. I guess safe's the word that we're trying to emphasise here. The wide football, it's not really delivering scores. It's not really delivering highlights. So I'm just concerned that the teams that have played safe are now the most vulnerable.
West Coast made an adjustment after the Hawks game.
Mm.
They really did.
What did they do?
Well, they had to go quick.
Yeah.
You got to keep it rolling. They were stopped in their tracks by the Hawks.
But you're talking about piggy in the middle stuff with West Coast, but they're doing it quickly, are they?
Yeah, so you've got to keep the ball rolling. So they'll take their angles a lot quicker, they'll take that kick a lot quicker, but they're always creeping down the ground.
All right.
Whereas Hawthorn was stopping them.
Yeah, okay.
And they go, right, well, that's probably the perfect little blueprint for us to find a way through.
Good stuff. Plenty more first crack in just a few moments' time.
Is that a perm? Is that a perm? It's got a tombstone and a perm on top.
I don't know what a perm is.
I'd enjoy them.
Yeah.
Ask Dermot. He used to perm.
That's right. They're vacating.
Yeah, no, one by one.
Yeah.
Very quickly. Brett Deledio is also vacating, unfortunately. I don't want to make light of it. That was terrible what happened today. But he played out the game with a calf injury. This is a sad end, we think, to a really decorated career. What did you make of it when you saw it today?
I was shattered for him. Known Lids for a long time, and you would have worked with Lids back in the day. He's a cracking country fella.
He didn't tell the medical staff.
Which is great. You know why? Because if you know it's your last one, you go the whole way. Especially, he said, in terms of rotations, he said, I could still get through and keep the rotations up. In the back of his mind, he's going.
He told his opponent. I think he told Matt Suckling. I'm struggling a bit here, mate, but he didn't tell the medical staff.
What a super player he was, Dicko. I remember when he first came down, clearly number one pick in a really strong draft. I mean, we've talked about this draft a lot. The Richmond fans have talked about this draft for a long time. But I don't think I've seen a young player, a player under 22, 23 years of age, as strong as he was above his head at full speed. He could be going flat out, 100% full speed, and bang, just take the ball clean. You very rarely see a talent like that. He's been incredibly unlucky.
It's sliding doors, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sad.
It's sad because he moved to the Giants and Richmond won the flag, and then he's got an opportunity the way they play now. They're going, hang on.
Yeah.
They're a serious threat. And then he comes in with a calf injury, but
he hurts him. He hurts him, you know. Delidio coming back in, he was terrific in the finals last year. So he's that wild card centre-half forward type player that no one thinks is a centre-half forward. You just see him leading up. He gets mismatches all the time. He hasn't had to spend as much time in the middle of the Giants as what he did at the Tigers. That exact player is what separates finals. You know, the amount of goal kickers that are half forward flankers or forward pockets that hit the scoreboard in finals is through the roof in the last few years.
And he had some wheels in the day.
Yeah, he's quick, wasn't he?
He was fast.
At the end of 2016, he had every right to think that Richmond were hovering / probably going down, a lot of changes at the club, and that the Giants were on the rise. In the end, the Tigers went bang the next year and they won the flag. And it's just worked against him.
But we just spoke about that before, the unlucky ones that
happened. Yeah, he's one.
Yeah,
well,
he's another one.
Well, Leon Cameron didn't completely rule out that he'd play in a grand final if they made it, but I'm suggesting that he won't be able to play in a grand final.
Well, if Kingy's chairman of selectors, he's not
Would you
playing.
Play him? Would you play him?
He'd play him.
Oh,
anyway.
I've told you, I'd play him.
Yeah, he's full of sugar. He's just sharing the love.
I'm a big emotion man.
Yep.
I'm a big emotion man. So, you know, what they showed after the game in respect for Brett was pretty huge.
Like, it's hard not to get emotional seeing him come off the ground.
Absolutely.
He's really revered figure, isn't he, in the game? Yeah. Number one draft pick, lots of pressure. He's played good footy for a long time. He was so durable for so long.
But even when a guy doesn't play a lot of footy, the character of a guy can help your footy club enormously.
It can.
And I think he's made, and he'll leave a fairly good legacy at the Giants.
As will this man, Gary Ablett at Geelong. Look, it was his lowest ranking game, according to champion data for the year. And my first crack, late in the show, is that if he's going to retire, it's probably the right call now. We saw it the other night, last night. He just doesn't look like the player he was. And I think he probably knows that himself and he's wrestling with it at the moment. And you get that impression. I heard Liam Pickering speak on the radio that he knows it. And that's the first time I've seen him live and I've thought to myself, he's not anywhere near what he was. He got by, but he didn't get by last night, did he?
I wouldn't be making any judgments on him. You watch for this game this week.
I want him to play well, but I'm worried.
Oh, I think he'll play well. That's what good players do. And I know he's
35.
I know he's got the petrol light on.
Yep.
But still, he's got something in the tank.
And I think there's no shame. If Gary decided to go on and at round 10 next year it was all falling apart, it's not going to matter to us.
Yeah.
We're going to love, you know, Gary and what he's been able to do and the levels that he's played. I still think he's got something to give. I don't know.
But I don't think he thinks he's got something
to
give.
Well, then that's an easy decision.
That's what I'm sensing. If he's waiting for them to win a flag or not, I just get the feeling that he's thinking to himself, and I've read his quotes. I don't know if I can go through another preseason. I can't walk for 4 or 5 days after a game. These, to me, it's very similar to what Bob Murphy was saying before he pulled up stumps.
Yeah.
Very similar. And they're sort of just conditioning it, I think it's all to this will be the end this year, which is sad, really, if they don't win the flag. If they win the flag, it's great, and I hope he plays well.
I love the fact that Chris Scott and that have said, that's his decision.
Yeah, it's great.
Not our decision.
He's earned the right, hasn't he?
He's earned the right.
Yeah.
Gaz, you want to get going? Keep going. If you don't, then...
What specifically did you see that made you think, nah, this is it? A couple of fumbles?
Yeah, fumbles. I was sitting on the boundary for radio, and a couple of times I just saw him fumble and I saw him lose his feet a couple of times, which he never used to do. I saw him tackled a couple of times and holding the ball, which he never used to get. He always used to be able to wriggle free. And I know he's been slowing down for a bit because he's been playing a different role and he's a bit older. But last night I thought he's actually been severely beaten by his opponent most times he goes near the ball. Zero ground balls in the forward 50 last night. That's his one wood, to use a term you guys like to use.
Oh, he averaged 30 disposals for an insane amount of time and broke every record. Yeah. So I don't look at Gary Ablett now and go, I expect him to get 20 or 30.
No, none of us do.
I'm expecting him to get 12, kick two.
I'm expecting him to kick the ball inside 56 times and have it marked by a Geelong player six times.
Yeah.
That's the sort of class that he brings to that forward line. Okay, it didn't work on Friday night. Reload, go again. And if you get the same result again, well, you're probably right.
Yeah.
You probably start thinking, okay, maybe this is it. But give him one more opportunity.
All right, I'll give him one more week.
Don't put a line through him just yet.
I don't really want to put a line through a champion. I hope he plays well.
No fun in that.
No fun.
They didn't put a line through you and the old Melbourneians.
Yeah. Absolutely they did.
They persisted early doors. They just gave you every hope.
Absolutely.
But you play out your whole 30 game.
At most. Grimes tonight on Charlie Cameron. But before we talk about that matchup, I want to talk about this dive.
Yes.
Oh.
This was a genuine European soccer dive, was it not?
European. Can I tell you one thing? I don't think $1,000 is a genuine deterrent,
yeah,
particularly in a final that saves a goal.
So the match review officer.
It's a bargain.
It's excessive exaggeration in a manner that affects an umpire's decision.
It reversed the decision.
That's it.
So clearly it's a sanction or a fine. If it's $1,000, that is way unders.
So what should it be?
Well,
if that's $1,000, they've got that final, in their ashtray of their cars, these boys.
Grimes, though? Yeah, Grimes is a gun player.
Yeah. In a final, you've cost all momentum to the Brisbane Lions, who desperately, it was early in the game, it was probably...
Very early.
5 minutes in.
It was a goal. Richmond had scored a goal, yep. I think. That would have squared it up.
It's the first time Charlie Cameron and Grimes were one-on-one.
Yep.
And it was the emotional A. You can't get away with the handcuffing, the grabbing of the wrists that you've been getting away with last time. It was a big moment. Grimes would have said, okay, I've got to change the way I'm playing here because now he's just kicked that goal. But to get back to the discussion, it needs to be, you know, if it's in a final and it affects a scoreboard, I think it needs to be like a $5,000 fine.
Five.
I know five is the maximum fine you can give through the AFLPA, but it needs to be something that becomes a deterrent. At the moment, it's actually value.
Yeah,
if it's you can get a kick reversed, it's a shot at goal. It's a bargain.
I think, play devil's advocate. Like you
no, got... I was just going to say, Grimes would be embarrassed if he watched that video.
Yeah, but well, not really, because you'll say I've done a great job.
You got it. But can't play devil's advocate. I agree with you. But what right does Eric Hipwood have to go up and touch him at all in that circumstance? The game's the play's done. Eric Hipwood's made contact, albeit not much. Why?
I thought it was quite interesting. He didn't think it through, for one. And when he made his way to the interchange fence, Chris Fagan led across and probably gave him what for. And then Chris sort of, you could see him just go, hang on, I've just given him cooks. Too early in the game to be doing that. I don't want to crush his confidence and brought him back.
Yeah.
But they're the things that these young teams and young players will do. But I'm with Kingy. It's got to be a massive fine, huge fine, because that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And how that umpire didn't see...
Oh.
That. And we asked the umpires, and we know there's grey in our game, and they've got to adjudicate on...
There was a lot of grey up north tonight. A lot of grey.
What about Dustin Martin's throw?
Don't want to do any umpire bashing.
Not at all.
But there was a lot of grey up north tonight.
I enjoyed Dustin Martin's throw to Jack Riewoldt. Riewoldt kicks the goal, and he says it on the big screen and starts laughing. Charlie Cameron on Dylan Grimes. Well, this was a really interesting matchup all night.
Yeah.
Set up during the week, wasn't it?
It was. And I think that it pretty much played out the same as last time. I mean, Charlie's not a great target. He doesn't win one-on-ones and gets outmarked regularly. And I think they actually looked better when he was further up the ground in that sec. I know they didn't score. They didn't get opportunities to score. Richmond was so dominant. But I just wonder whether they've got to look at that position now. And maybe becomes a hit. But even McCarthy can do some things. Mm. But Hipwood's – the pressure for me is on Hipwood to go and become the P, go and become the main target down there. Let Charlie Crum, let him float in, take third man in type marks rather than coming out of the square, trying to turn his player all the time. It just hasn't happened against the well-organised Tigers.
I don't think they were smart enough this time around Brisbane the way they had Cameron as the target too. Mm. You don't kick it on his head and hope it goes to ground.
Yeah.
You kick it to ground. So you're literally kicking it left or right to grass. Charlie will do the rest. Just give him that space because as soon as Grimes can't get in that wrestle, all of a sudden the wheels will do the talking and he's way quicker.
Good player, Grimes.
He's a ripper, but I'm just saying Charlie's lightning.
Yeah.
And he can turn anyone.
Yeah.
So don't kick it to a contest.
Yeah.
Kick it to grass.
Are you making some excuses, Dicko? Because 2 weeks ago you said this.
Yeah, go on.
You said this.
It's a good
season. The whole season, I've tracked Brisbane.
Yeah.
I'm locked and loaded.
Big guy style.
They will win the premiership. They will not get beaten next week against Richmond. That's a lock for me.
Oh, no.
End quote. That's what you said. So two-part question. Oh, first part, do you still believe they can win the premiership?
Yes.
They will win the premiership?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Second part, what do you say to those critics that say, you don't know what you're talking about because Richmond just embarrassed him at the Gabba? What do you say to those people?
Did they have their opportunities, Brisbane?
They did.
Oh, no.
In the second quarter.
Yep.
But on the whole, Richmond were far better.
Now, when I say I'm locked and loaded, I'm locked.
You've got to let me go.
Hey, they're still in the competition.
It's okay to be wrong every now and then. Just admit it and move on.
To say you're wrong sometimes.
Yeah. No,
we're all wrong occasionally.
Not wrong.
You said that. You said in that statement there that they beat Richmond tonight.
I heard what you said.
You know what you said. You mean?
Yeah, I heard what I said. Mate, two things. You asked me the first one. What was the second one?
No, the second one. No, should you apologise to?
No, I shouldn't.
Critics?
Because I think
they're trusting you.
There's still a chance to win.
No, you said that.
No, not a chance. They will. You said they will.
Okay, I still think they can win it.
That's a big answer.
You know the other one?
Backtracking already.
Locked and loaded.
Whack the reverse
line. Oh, right. He's backtracking already. All right, we've got fab performers and failed performers. I think Dicko might be one of them right after this break on First Crack.
You're watching Finals Footy on Fox.
First Crack at its best. Fabs and fails, the world famous fabs and fails. Let's start with the fails because that's what we do here. Why don't you kick us off, Kingy?
Let's start with the negative.
Well, we were going
to stop ruining my record.
We're going to put that's ruined. Chris Scott's weatherman was going to go in there, but I'm actually going to go Chris Fagan tonight
as a fail.
As a because I just look at the way that game unfolded. I think they were a bit too stubborn in the way that they didn't really have a negating role for Dustin Martin. They didn't have an answer for him when he went forward. I just thought Darcy Gardner, just lock away. I know he did a really good job on Jack Riewoldt, but Dusty's the man that's been best on ground against Brisbane so many times in a row, it's not funny.
And Marcus Adams didn't work.
It absolutely didn't work. Charlie Cameron, we just talked about, was in the same position most of the night. Grimes had complete control of him. They played slow, wide footy that didn't work at the MCG, and it didn't work again. I know we differ on this slightly. They had to take the safety latch off and just go and play. Go and be the Brisbane Lions we probably fell in love with. We haven't seen enough of them expressing themselves, I don't think, in the last couple of weeks, Dicko. And it's still a serious football team. No way is their campaign done, but I just think tonight they allowed the same things to go wrong for them as what happened in round 23.
Yeah, they lost that threat.
Yeah.
Well, they are the biggest threat, and they do that because they don't play to the scoreboard. 30 down, 30 up, they're aggressive. And they can defend because you don't get a percentage like they have in the last couple of years if you haven't got a great balance, and they've got a great balance. That's why I fell in love with them, quote unquote.
That's what you said.
I love Brisbane.
Yeah, they've got to beat.
Sort of still win it still.
If they're going to win it.
sort of stuff.
Sort of.
If they're going to win it, they've got to beat, Richmond or Geelong, don't they, at the MCG? Can they do that on grand final day?
It's an interesting point you make, and I'll tell you.
Thank you.
I'll tell you why.
Tell us, please.
I'm very bullish on a young team to come in and have no fear. Now they've been a bit gun shy in two rounds now. Third round might be different.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they lose round 23 to Richmond, they were startled at the G. They on their home deck, they had more scoring shots and all that, and Richmond were in full control in the second half. They just dropped the hammer. So the learnings, David, to come out of all this, if they're learning and they're developing, I think they can learn a lot what they've had in the last 2 weeks. Because Richmond, everyone's tipping Richmond to win it. Now, they've had two games in a row against what is everyone's classing the premiership team.
Yep.
So you're not going to get a better audition.
You're auditioning now. This is a big regression from where you started.
It's quite unbelievable. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Hey, I still think they win it.
Okay. What's your fail?
My fail's Gary. I was expecting Gary Ablett to jump out of the ground.
He sets such a high bar.
Oh, but not the 20, 30 disposals. I was expecting him to light it up, like you said. I was expecting him to lace a few out, kick a couple, and just put his touch. And what I love about Gary Ablett, he's not the player, and we should never, ever say he's not the player he was, because he's a different player now. But what he adds is class. He doesn't waste disposals. He doesn't waste any possessions. He's worth his weight in gold. Ten possessions to me from Gary in the front half is results in six goals. That's what happens with Gary Ablett.
Does he bounce back?
Oh, I'm big on him bouncing back.
Okay. Good.
Champions bounce back, and he is an absolute champion.
He is. My fail is St Kilda Footy Club. And their timing of the announcement for the coach was a complete error from them.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you want it?
I wanted it earlier in the week when they had some clear air. Instead, they did it late in the week when we were all engrossed in finals. We had a final over in Perth and we had a final at the MCG and they wheeled Brett Ratten out. And it's great. It's terrific news. But what about doing it on a Tuesday? They've got all this time to plan. And they would say, I'm sure St Kilda would say, well, we had a scheduled board meeting for Thursday night, so it had to be ratified then. Bring the board meeting forward. This is what the boards are there for, to appoint coaches. Say, sorry, guys, let's meet tonight. Let's meet on Monday night. And we'll announce it on Tuesday. And then we can actually make the most of what is a really good time for St Kilda. They did it late in the week and I thought it was buried. And look in the papers, it was buried deep in the papers. And that's a shame.
Would have been a great start for Deliveroo to be absolute front and centre with their branding everywhere. No, I'm being serious. Your major sponsors, that's why you have
that's what they want.
Press conferences and that.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, I love it. I smack Deliveroo. Do you smack Deliveroo?
You're really,
all right, Dicko.
You're really annoying me tonight.
You're fab.
You're fab, David.
Nicholas Natanui.
Oh, right.
The big Fijian. He was sensational on Thursday night. 53% of ground time. I don't know if we can recall a player. Just 14 disposals that can change a game by just being involved in centre bounces in particular. They scored 7 goals from centre bounce clearances. The average is 10 points per game. So I just think he changes everything that the West Coast are about now. And this is – we talk about Dustin Martin, who can clamp Dusty, you know, midfield slash forward, and we're struggling for names, really. This guy's the same. How do you actually stop him impacting the game?
You can't. It's just a fact. Yeah. You can't stop him.
So how do you limit it?
Well, you've got to be very clever at your stoppages and your centre-bounce. You almost got to play to West Coast. I'm being serious because he can put it wherever he wants it.
Mm.
He's a jet. And like you're saying, he doesn't need a lot of room to be able to do what he needs to do.
Do you give them a chance, the West Coast Eagles, to at least get to a grand final?
So they
Geelong.
Beat Geelong and then they play
Richmond.
Richmond.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be tough. They have a game that can beat Richmond.
Yep.
Absolutely. But Richmond, they're clearly the front runner behind my
I feel
my
like
Brisbane.
You're going to need another club to support.
No,
it doesn't matter to Dicko. Brisbane's going to win it. They can play anyone.
Brisbane. Do you know what? This is going to be so good. Like next week, we're just warming up and Brisbane win again. And then, hang on a minute.
Yeah,
they're in a granny.
It'll be awesome.
I can't wait to just read out your quotes from this week. Lachie Whitfield.
Sensational.
Sorry, I just gave you your fab. What's your fab, Dicko?
Lachie.
Oh, yep.
No, he was 30 disposals today, but I loved his game because meters gained 700. He averages 480.
How did the tag of Jason Johannesson go?
Worked awesomely, yeah.
Mm.
He just said, howdy doody time. See you, Mr. Doody.
That's it.
Can you do that against Lachie?
No, you cannot, because he's such a chain player.
And he's out of contract at the end of next year. Watch the clubs come
for
him.
The end of next year?
Yep.
Okay.
End of 2020. Watch them come.
I just thought he was super today with his carry.
My fab, Darcy Moore. Now, I've got no numbers in front of me. I don't know what his numbers were, but I was watching this game, as I said, on the boundary.
What have you been doing all day?
I've changed my fab on the run. It was Dustin Martin. We've spoken enough about Dustin Martin. I've changed it to Darcy Moore.
This is preparation game.
Yeah. No, just keep you on your toes.
Get away with this stuff at Old Mill
first cracks
about. You can't get away with it here.
Let me talk for a second. Darcy Moore was brilliant, and I was in the rooms after the game, and he was almost crying how happy he was with the performance of the team. First final, first win. He embraced Tom Langdon because they were housemates last year. Langdon was playing, Moore wasn't. Now it's the other way around. He's a really emotional person, and this meant so much to him. It was great to see, and I hope he stays fit.
I think he took 7 intercept marks. It was a huge night.
That's the number I had written just there.
The other fail is your perm. It's not working, Tom.
All right, quickly, tips for next week. Who's going to win Geelong versus West Coast?
West
Coast.
Yep.
It'll be a big story if they drop out in straight sets the Cats.
And Brisbane against GWS.
Brisbane are home.
Of course, Brisbane. They're home.
You?
Brisbane.
Brisbane's going to win.
Next week.
Yes! We're on!
Massive. Very good tonight, gents. Well done. First crack. See you next time.
There was.
This has been a Fox Sports production.